So welcome on this Trinity Sunday, which also happens to be our first family Sunday. So we're really glad to have some of the kids with us. So if you have some elementary age kids sitting around you, if you guys want to just reach over and say, hey, I'm glad that you're here, just give them a pat on their back. Just say, hey. And the middle schoolers, high schoolers too, you can... And then for the elementary age kids, so for the kids, if you want to turn to an adult next to you and say, I'm glad you're here, welcome to my church, all right? Just welcome the adults around you. All right. Well, we're glad that everyone's here. So this morning, we're talking about the Trinity, so that'll be fun. So we're going to talk about art and what art communicates. So why don't we do this? Think of a piece of art that you're currently enjoying. So it can be a painting. It could be a photograph. It could be a cartoon. It could be a TV show. It could be a movie. So share the art that you like right now and why you like it. What is it communicating to you? I'll give you a couple minutes, all right? All right. So someone want to shout out a show or a movie or a book or a painting? You can just shout it out. Anybody? Not all at once now. Okay, computer. Okay, bringing it back. Good. I like it. Anybody else? Twin Peaks, the original? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Handmaid's Tale. Good. I'm sensing the tone of this room this morning. That's good. Anybody? What was that? Okay. Is that a show or a movie? Oh, it's a painting from the 1600s. Okay. Of the Greek gods. That's amazing. Good. Yeah, right there? Yes, Spider-Man. Which one? Spider-Verse. Yeah, that's a good one. Good. Very nice. So we're very lucky to have a lot of artists here at Vox. And so if you see the walls, they're populated by artists here. We get to enjoy it. They're communicating something about God and themselves. We've got the icons in the back. And so last week, I got to enjoy something from one of the Vox artists that brought me so much joy. So you want to check out this piece of art? So it's from one of our Vox art, so check it out.
Hey guys, for today's workout, we're going to be talking about Tabata. That's right, you probably heard of it, and it's this hot workout. It's from like ancient Germany or Antarctica, no one really knows for sure. You do four workouts, any four workouts you want. It doesn't matter what they are. You get your heart rate up, you get your fat burn up, you get your blood pressure down, you're gonna burn off that extra gluten from what you ate earlier today. And then, best of all, low carb. All right, let's go check it out. You start out with something with legs and something to get your heart rate up. Make it your own. So we did it, guys. Give yourselves high five. Congratulations for completing your first Tabata. So tune in next time. We're going to try this new workout. Haven't tried it yet. Can't wait to try it. It's called Marathon. So... Tune in, same time next week.
I told you we had some talented artists here. Let's give them a hand. Yeah. So, I'll just give you a couple of short seconds. Just turn to a neighbor. What is this piece of art communicating to us? And what do we know about the artist? I'll just give you a couple of seconds. Turn to your neighbor. All right, go. Just like say a few words. All right. You want to check out another piece of art?
Yeah.
Okay, let's check out this piece. So if we have our Earth here, and we're probably, that's North America, so we're probably somewhere in the middle there, so just place Austin on the dot. And if we zoom out, we've got our solar system. You kind of see where the Earth is, and all the planets, and Pluto. Aw, Pluto. Then if we zoom out again, it's our solar system in the interstellar neighborhood, so that's our solar system. Let's zoom out again. Then you have the Milky Way galaxy and you have an interstellar neighborhood. You see where it is? Zoom out one more time. Then you have the local galactic group. You see our Milky Way galaxy. You zoom out again. And then you have the Virgo supercluster. You see where our local galactic group is. Zoom out again. Then the local superclusters, that's where our little cluster is. And then the next one. This is our observable universe. So turn to a neighbor and just share, what does this tell us about the artist who made this? And what is it communicating to us? All right, I'll give you a couple seconds. Let's go. All right, any thoughts? Someone want to shout out, what does it tell us about ourselves and the artist? What's that? We're too serious. We take ourselves too seriously. Anybody else? How small we are, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not the center of the universe. Good. No one's perfect. Good. Aliens are out there, absolutely. Aliens are in here. Very good. And so this morning, our lectionary text is in Psalm 8. And we're going to look at a poem written by a king. And this poem is depicting God as an artist, this brilliant artist. And we're going to ask, what does this poem tell us about ourselves and God? So let's start off. We're going to start off with the first reading. So I'm going to have, if you're under 18, if you can read this aloud with me. All right, the first few verses. You ready? God, brilliant Lord, yours is a household name. Come on, kids. Nursing infants gurgle their choruses about you. Toddlers shout the songs that drown out enemy talk and silence their babble. So you know what this is saying? This is saying God is such a brilliant artist. Everyone knows about his artistry. And then this poet starts with one of God's maybe most brilliant pieces of artwork, a baby. So let's try this. So think of your favorite baby. Okay. If you need a little help, we have some pictures of the kids we just dedicated. Okay. I think we have a picture here. All right. So just pick one. Okay. Pick one. Some of you aren't human baby people. That's fair. Go to the next slide. Okay. All right. Got it. Okay. Hold that. So when you think of a baby or that elephant, what do you feel? Just think, what do you feel? Just think of the emotion, okay? And then now, you already did it. What sound do you make? Yeah, some of you go, aww. Some of you go, aww. It's like a little aggressive, right? So on the count of three, let's make that sound again. 1, 2, 3. Okay. So how does it feel to think of that maybe when God sees us, he makes that sound? What if that's true? Let's take it one step deeper. So think of a time that you felt unlovable. Maybe someone was mean to you. Maybe someone made fun of you. Think of a time maybe a coworker said something. So think of an experience you had where you felt unlovable. Okay? So what if that moment had nothing to do with your lovability and it had everything to do with that person just didn't have love to give in that moment? Does that make sense? And you know what this psalm is saying? This poem is saying this, that the sound of being loved can drown out the unloving voices in our lives. Isn't that amazing? So I'll tell you a story. So I like fried rice. I'm not trying to foster stereotypes. So I enjoy fried rice. One of my favorite meals recently had to do with fried rice. So we went to Houston for Harmon's birthday. And we wanted to have Vietnamese crawfish. So we all went there, very exciting. I don't have a crawfish off switch. So some people don't have like a whiskey off switch. I don't have a crawfish off switch. So I was like, I probably shouldn't get like 3 pounds of crawfish. So they all ordered crawfish. I have a picture. And then I had a strategy. I was like, I'm going to order Vietnamese crawfish fried rice, and then I stole like a couple pieces of fresh ones from all three of them. I put them on my fried rice, and it was so delicious. I've thought about that dish of fried rice once a day for the last 2 months.
Amazing.
Okay. So I love fried rice. So when I was in third grade, I went to this small school, and we had fried rice for dinner one night. And then my mother was packing our lunch, and she goes, would you like fried rice for lunch? I was like, yes. So she packed it up. She heated it up, put it in a blue thermos, I remember, so that it would still be hot when I got to the lunch. So I woke up. I was like, I'm going to get fried rice for lunch. I'm excited. I get there. First two classes, just thinking about fried rice. We had a small school, so we didn't have a lunchroom. We just had our backpacks on the wall. So the lunch bell rang, and then I ran in my backpack, got my fried rice. I opened the first lid, and I remember being so excited. I opened that second lid, and the smell came out and hit my face, and I was so elated. And then a kid next to me goes, ew, what's that smell? And I go, fried rice. He goes, fried lice. And then the whole class starts chanting, fried lice, fried lice. And I can't remember a time of being so excited and so crushed the very moment. I remember I just sat there alone with like tears salting my fried rice. And I remember thinking, oh, something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with my food. Something's wrong with my culture. That's what I thought. But as an adult, I look back, there is nothing wrong with me or my food or my culture. That kid just didn't have love to give in that moment. And what this poem is saying is the sound of being loved can drown out the sounds, the unloving voices in our lives. So maybe we can ask, what are the unloving voices in our lives right now? Maybe it's someone who's not nice to us, someone we're in an argument with. Maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a boss, maybe it's a coworker. For me, most of my unloving voices are me. It comes from myself. And what if we remember, just like a baby, just like a baby, the sound of being loved can drown out the unloving sounds, voices in our lives. So this is a spiritual practice. So think of something you're not good at. Okay? Something you wish you were like, ah, why aren't I good at that? Think of that, okay? Everyone has something specific that you're not good at? Okay. Think of a baby. Babies are not good at everything. Like, literally, there's nothing that babies are good at. And think of a baby. We're not loved for what we're good at or what we're not good at. All right? Let's keep going. Verse 3. So I look up at your macro skies, dark and enormous, your handmade sky jewelry, moon and stars mounted in their settings. Like, think about nature and this world and the universe, how gorgeous that is. And then it says, why do you bother with us? Why do you take a second look our way? This poet is saying, this world is so big, so beautiful, and we get to be a part of that? Like, seriously? Like, it's so beautiful. Are we really that beautiful? So let's try this. So think of the most beautiful place you've been in nature. Okay. You can shut it up. What's the most beautiful place? Yosemite. Glacier. Botswana. Big Sur. Uh-huh. What was that? Bikini Falls, yeah. Uh-huh. Niagara Falls. Big Bend. Did you say Big Bend? Yeah. Anybody else? Denali. Okay. So picture that place. So imagine you take a picture, right? You got a picture. So picture that place. Okay, now let's frame that picture. You got it? So pull this picture up and just look at how beautiful this place is. And just like take a deep breath. It's gorgeous. Got it? Now put yourself in that picture. Your face. Better or worse? And what this is saying is that our beauty is as beautiful as the most beautiful places in this world. So let's try this. So in Genesis 1, so the ancient people, they didn't have science, so they would tell stories and poems, and they're trying to communicate what God feels about us. And in this poem in Genesis 1, there's one word that's repeated over and over and over. Anyone know that word? Anyone? It's good. It's good. It's really good. So we're going to try this. I want us to feel this together, okay? So kids, I need your help. So I'm going to go through kind of Genesis 1 and what it names, and then I'm going to let the adults pick something. And once they pick it, the kids, I need the middle schoolers, high schoolers to kind of give them some courage, so you guys do too. Just say, so good. Okay, so good. Okay, so let's try this. So we go to the first one. In Genesis 1, it says, let there be light. So for one adult, you can pick. Do you guys prefer sunrise or sunset? Sunset, okay? So I'm going to say sunset. All the kids are going to say, so good. Ready? Sunset, kids. Okay, not bad. We can do better. Okay, we're going to keep going here. All right, one of the adults, name your favorite body of water, the land separated from the seas. Name a favorite body of water. Pacific Ocean. All right, kids. So good. Oh, come on. One more time. Kids, so good. All right. I'm on my own. I got this. Okay. Let's keep going. Favorite fruit. Someone yell a favorite fruit. Mango. So good. Let's just all do it. All right. Favorite constellation of stars. What's your favorite constellation of stars? I didn't hear it, but let's just say so good. All right. Favorite bird. Peacock. Peacock. So good. Favorite four-legged animal. Dog. Ready? So good. All right. Favorite sea animal.
Manatee.
Manatee. Ready? So good. All right. And this is for everyone. Okay. So picture the moment you were born, your baby picture. On the count of three, all of us. So very good. Now look around the room. Make eye contact with someone. Look at this room. On the count of three. So very good. Well done. So that's what this art and the scriptures are trying to tell us. It's so good. It's so very good. Okay, we're going to take it one step deeper. Okay? So I think, in my opinion, I think this spring and summer has been the most beautiful spring and summer in Austin for me. I've been here 20 years. Do you guys agree? The wildflowers, feels tropical. Why is it so beautiful? The rain. So I want to propose something. That perhaps in nature, thunderstorms can heal and bring new life. I think that's possible. And I wonder if in the same way, perhaps our thunderstorms, the thunderstorms we're experiencing, maybe sometimes they can bring healing and new life. Do you guys remember the storm last Sunday? It was a good one. Yeah, it was epic. It was huge, right? So very good, yeah. So a while ago, I experienced a storm that was kind of like that. I was with a friend who's having a really bad day. And a couple friends came, and our friend was so sad, he hadn't eaten a couple days. So we took our friend to a restaurant, and we were thinking, what food would comfort this person? So we took him to Hoover's. And so we had chicken fried steak, chicken fried chicken, grits and cobbler, and we were kind of full, but our friend was still kind of sad. And then as we were leaving, a storm rolled in that was exactly like last week's. And we couldn't get to the car because the heavens opened. It's just like pounding down. So we stood outside of Hoover's. My friend sat down. He started crying. I remember standing on the bench. I started crying a little bit. And in that moment, it felt like the heavens were crying with us and that we weren't alone. And that in some ways, our thunderstorms can sometimes heal and bring new life. And so for us, maybe what are the thunderstorms we're going through right now? Maybe someone doesn't want to be your friend. Maybe someone's not talking to you. Maybe you've lost someone you love. What is that thunderstorm? And remember that you're not alone. You're not alone. And then ask this, what might this thunderstorm be healing right now? And for parents, if you want to do something, this would be great for your kids. Tell them a story of a time you went through a thunderstorm in your life and what happened and how hard it was and maybe what was healed and what new life was birthed. All right, let's finish up here. Verse 8. It says, yet we've so narrowly missed being God's We're sons and daughters of God. We have divine DNA in us, bright with Eden's dawn light. You put us in charge of your handcrafted world, your artisan world, and you repeated to us your Genesis charge. This is so good. Help me keep it good. Let's collaborate to make this place good and beautiful. You made us care for sheep and cattle, even animals out in the wild, birds flying, fish swimming, whales singing in oceans deep. God, brilliant Lord, your name echoes around the world. And what this is saying is that God made us love and care for and depend on the earth and on animals. We're all in this together. Okay. So it's Trinity Sunday, so I'm going to get nerdy for a second. So if some of the kids, it's hard to understand, you can talk about it at lunch with your parents, okay? So it's going to get nerdy. If you don't understand, it's okay. So let's start with this. Human beings are limited. Make sense? So there's more we don't know than we know, right? Okay. So the way we talk about things we don't know, we have to use something we know to point at it. It's called a metaphor. Okay. So when something's so big, you can't say, let's say love. You can't say love is. It's too big. You have to say love is like. Does that make sense? You can't say God is. It's too big. You can say God is like. Okay? So one of the metaphors that the church has always used is like, God is so big, like so beyond us. It's like three persons in one. It's like three persons in one being. And we call that the Trinity, right? So maybe it's like this. Maybe the Trinity is showing us how we operate in the world. So go to the next slide. So if we have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, so they're always caring for, depending on, loving each other. Always. That's how they exist. So it's showing us the next slide. This is how we engage the world. We always love, care, and depend on everyone around us. Does that make sense? So I'll give you an example. So we have two dogs at my house. My first dog, I have a picture, I think. So I've talked about Mochi recently. We got her when she was weeks old, and she was super cute. And then as she grew older, she was a toddler dog and was crazy. And she would always want to play, want to wrestle, always nipping at us. And the problem was we already had an actual toddler named Noah, so we didn't have energy to take care of another toddler. So we were like, let's get an older, calm dog to help take care of this puppy. So Karen started going to the rescue, and then she calls me one day. She's like, I found the perfect dog. And I was like, really? She's like, can you come now? I was like, no, I'm kind of busy right now. I can't come. So I went the next day. We all went as a family. And then we met Trixie, and she was like perfect and calm. And then we were like, this is the perfect dog. As we were saying this, a woman came out and she had just adopted her. And we were like, oh no. And so she was leaving. I was like, you know, I don't know. It probably won't work, but here's my number. And if something changes, just call us. So we went home. We're kind of sad. We forgot about it. We got a call a month later. And she goes, hey, this is Trixie's owner. I just got a new job. I really can't take care of her. Do you still want Trixie? We're like, yes. So we took her home, and she's the perfect dog. So she calmed down Mochi. So Mochi would want to play and wrestle, and she would always wrestle her and pin her down until she calmed down. And then suddenly Mochi was a calm dog. It was awesome. Every day when we come home still, she can recognize our cars or our bike. She'll run to the gate, and she sings. She goes, "Aroo!" every day when we come home. And the most useful thing, and possibly the grossest thing, she also helps us clean Mochi's ears and eyes, which is like super useful but kind of disgusting. Want to see a video? Sure, why not? Let's check it out. And then watch the power move. A power move is coming right here. Power move. Boom. You know, you've got to keep the pecking order. All right. So maybe in this case then, go to the next slide. Maybe our family, it's like our family, Trixie, Mochi, we care, love, and depend on each other. Maybe your family is your mom, maybe your sister, and you. This poem, this psalm is trying to tell us it's us and nature and the animals. We all care for and depend on each other. And maybe our way to operate in this world is God, us, and our neighbor. And on this Trinity Sunday, I actually think this is really beautiful, that we're all together. Because it's a lot of churches don't do this. We try to separate it. But on this Trinity Sunday for us this morning, it's the kids, the youth, and the adults. We all care for, depend on, and love each other. And so this is my prayer for us. It's one of my favorite poems from Mary Oliver. I don't know where prayers go or what they do. Do cats pray while they sleep, half asleep in the sun? Does the opossum pray as it crosses the street? The sunflowers, the old black oak growing older every year. I know I can walk through the world, along the shore, under the trees, with my mind filled with things of little importance, in full self-attendance, a condition I can't really call being alive. Is a prayer a gift or a petition, or does it matter? The sunflowers blaze. Maybe that's their way. Maybe the cats are sound asleep. Maybe not. While I was thinking this, I happened to be standing just outside my door with my notebook open, which is the way I begin every morning. Then a wren in the privet began to sing. He was positively drenched in enthusiasm. I don't know why, and yet, why not? I wouldn't persuade you from whatever you believe or whatever you don't. That's your business. But I thought of the wren singing. What could this be if it isn't a prayer? So I just listened, my pen in the air. And we pray this in the beauty of God, through the creativity of Christ, and the collaboration of the Holy Spirit.